Hey, everybody, this is Andy Marquette again, and I am joined by my colleague and friend, Lise MacTague. We are Let's Geek Out. Spooky Let's Geek Out. Hey, Lise, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I was trying to get us all stoked for the Halloween coming up, the Halloween show. Do you have any plans?
Oh, that's right. My plans are the same as they are every year. Avoid the door so I don't have to give out candy. Oh, I hate giving out candy. It's like the kids are fine, but then their parents are there. And that's so, yeah. Unfortunately, my stepdaughter has been giving out candy the past couple of years. Only she's going trick-or-treating with her friends. So it's like, shit,
right.
Who can I talk into doing that for me? You know, I'll probably have to be, like, up here working on editing our show to come out the next day anyway. So, you know, I just won't have time for that.
So are you going to, like, have a family night or watch some kind of spooky movie or?
Nah, you know, we've got teenagers now, so that's just not a real thing for them anymore.
Well, what about you and the wife?
Kind of sad. We could do that. But, you know, like I said, I'm going to be up here editing this audio podcast. So that I don't have to answer the door.
Oh, my God. That's right, y'all. Halloween falls on a Thursday this year. So I'm not sure how that works in the real world. I don't know if people will go trick-or-treating on Thursday or hold off till Friday. I know there are lots of events where you can take your kids to, like, you know, shopping malls and churches and that kind of thing and do some trick-or-treating fun stuff and when it falls on a weeknight like that, it's always a pain in the ass.
Well, so they trick-or-treat on Halloween night here, and where I grew up, we trick-or-treated on Halloween night. But when I lived in Milwaukee, they would trick-or-treat the Sunday afternoon before Halloween. There was no nighttime trick-or-treating.
Huh. Was there a specific reason for that? Just they didn't want scariness or...
No, there was a specific reason for that. A teenage girl was murdered on Halloween night in one of the, not in Milwaukee itself, but like one of the municipalities south of there.
Oh my God.
In, I think, like the 70s. And ever since then, nowhere in Milwaukee or the environs does trick or treat at night. Yeah.
Was that murder ever solved? Do you know?
I believe it was.
Good.
Delving back in my brain. And I don't think it actually had anything to do with Halloween at all. It was just the fact that it was on the day. It's not like she was out trick-or-treating and got snatched or something, you know?
Oh, my God. That's awful.
Yeah.
So I definitely thanks, get Debbie why. Downer. <I'm
just kidding>. But it always struck me as strange that they didn't trick-or-treat on Halloween night. Because when I was a kid, that's when you did it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, same. Same. So, friends, what we thought we'd do this week for Les Geek Out, or your geekly bi-weekly show, is that we were going to talk a little bit about Halloween and its origins and then share some memories with y'all. Because for me, I personally, and I don't know about you, Lise, but I freaking love Halloween and I love Dia de los Muertos. So it's always kind of been a thing for me. And sometimes I get so excited and I just like celebrate the whole year and the whole fucking month and year for it. Is it something that was big in your family, Lise?
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely one of the holidays that we kind of enjoyed. My dad didn't do well with breaks from the routine. So this was a holiday where we were not in the house. So he couldn't get all crabby about it. Plus, he liked helping us with our costumes. And so we always had really cool costumes that had to be able to go over a snowsuit. Because, yes, we did trick-or-treat in the snow half the time.
I think a lot of people do, depending on where you are in this country. Let's talk a little bit about the origins of Halloween. Because sometimes people don't really know what the hell this holiday, what the hell this day is all about.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of Halloween, y'all, the origins date back to the ancient Celtic festival of Samhain. That is spelled Samhain, but it's pronounced Samhain.
Because Celtic.
So the day, technically, it marks the end of summer and thus the harvest. And it's the beginning of the dark, cold winter. You know, that's a time of year that's often associated with kind of darkness and death. And Celts believe that on the night before this year, Before that happened, the boundary between the worlds of the living and the dead become blurred. So on the night of October 31st, they celebrated Samhain, when it was believed that the ghosts of the dead returned to Earth. And so part of what you would do is you would like dress up in costumes to scare ghosts or to, you know, keep them away from you. And you'd have like these bonfires. So mm-hmm. you'd have all these huge bonfires going and have like have yourself a merry freaking Hallows Eve festival. So the Celts thought that the presence of these otherworldly spirits made it easier for the Druids or Celtic priests to make predictions about the future. And for, you know, the Celts were entirely dependent on the natural world. These prophecies were super important as a source of comfort during, you know, the darkness of the winter time. And to commemorate the event, Druids often built these huge bonfires. So that's one of the origins. The and part of that, if you want to get it like tied into other Christian and Catholic traditions, what happened was that in the 8th century, Pope Gregory III designated November 1st as All Saints Day. So what happened was you incorporated the All Saints into Samhain, and the evening before October 31st was All Hallows Eve, later Halloween. Mm-hmm. All Saints Day is November 1st. Now, if we're going to talk about my other favorite holiday, which also falls this time of year, that's a Dia de los Muertos, Day of the Dead. This is celebrated mostly in contemporary Mexico and among those of Mexican heritage in the U.S. So I grew up in the Rocky Mountain West. I grew up in the South, in a lot of the parts of the Southwest. Dia de los Muertos is a big thing in the parts of the country where I grew up. So it was something that was always part of my life growing up. And what it does is it goes back like 3,000 years to the rituals that honor the dead in pre-Columbian Mesoamerica. So what happens is in these traditions is upon dying, a person was believed to travel to the land of the dead. And in the language, these in Nahuatl and these kinds of languages are really hard to pronounce. So this is Chiconamitlan, the land of the dead. And only after getting through 9 challenging levels, a journey of several years, it's sort of like the Egyptian traditions of the Book mm-hmm. of the Dead. Only after getting through those could your soul finally reach Mictlan, the resting place. And in Nahuatl rituals honoring the dead, traditionally held in August, family members provided food, water, and tools to aid the deceased in this difficult journey. And that is really, it's very similar to what Egyptian traditions were in the Old and New Kingdoms and the Middle Kingdoms. You know, you would give the pharaoh and the rich people who died, you would give them implements on their journey mm-hmm. through the land of the dead to help them get to where they needed to go. So in ancient Europe, pagan celebrations of the dead took place in the fall. They consisted, again, of bonfires, dancing, and feasting. This is my kind of party, friends. Some of these customs survived even after the rise of the Roman Catholic Church, which, you know, didn't officially do this, but brought some of the traditions into their celebrations of All Saints Day and All Souls Day, celebrated on the first 2 days of November. So if you're going to do the Day of the Dead, the Dia de los Muertos, or Dias de los Muertos, they consider it, you know, a Mexican version of Halloween, but it's not really. The two holidays share some traditions. On the Day of the Dead, it's believed that, again, the border between the spirit world and the real world dissolve. And during this period, the souls of the dead wake up. They return to the living world, and they feast, they drink, they dance, they play music with their loved ones. And in turn, those family members still alive treat the deceased as honored guests in their celebrations, and they leave favorite foods and other offerings at grave sites or on the ofrendas built in their homes. Those are the little altars that you find in a lot of homes throughout the Southwest and Mexican homes. Ofrendas can be decorated, candles, marigolds, those are huge in Dia de los Muertos. And you got foods like tons of tortillas and fruit and bread. Bread is a big deal at the Day of the Dead. The most prominent symbol, and Liz, you probably know this, the calaveras and skulls that you see. And you'll see if you go to a Day of the Dead parade, you'll see people like paint their faces like a skull, because this is a mm-hmm. really huge, huge thing. And during contemporary festivities, people wear these skull masks or they paint their faces and they eat sugar candy molded into the shapes of skulls And then you've got the pan de ánimas of the All Souls Day rituals in Spain. That's the bread that are left as offerings for the dead. And in Spain, it's reflected in pan de muerto, the traditional sweet baked good of Day of the Dead. So there's a lot of overlap between Samhain, Halloween, All Hallows Eve, and Días de los Muertos. And I freaking love the idea of this veil between the worlds kind of like lifting for a brief moment, and you honor mm-hmm. those who have passed, but you recognize your own mortality. I think there's a lot of power inherent in that. And that's why I just really dig the imagery and the whole idea of this time of year.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me, sort of like how much the Dies de las. I'm sorry, I'm going to kill
Day of the Dead. Just go Day of the Dead.
Okay.
Just go Day of the Dead.
Thank you for the permission. how different, I mean, so how much they share sort of iconography, how much mm-hmm. iconography they share, but how much sort of the purpose of that iconography diverges. Like on the one hand, you have the Day of the Dead celebration, which sounds like it's really a celebration of sort of family and the continuation of family. Whereas with Halloween, it's we got to scare these mm-hmm. evil spirits out of here.
It's what I love about Day of the Dead is that you are actually you're honoring the ancestors. You're mm-hmm. honoring your own family, but also the ancestors of those who have passed. And there's a day, some areas celebrate this. I think Oaxaca does, where there's a day set aside. I think it may be October 31st. Well, October 31st is like Children's Day in Dias de los Muertos. And then there's like, there's also an honoring of like this, the souls of the people who are, well, who are assholes in real life, like thieves and villains. And oftentimes there will be like little plates of offerings left in like churches so that even those souls can participate in the lifting of this veil, however temporarily. So there's an acknowledgement of people who have played a role in your life, but also people who have played a larger role in culture and history. And I really, really like that. I like these ideas of ancestors and honoring those who came before, even if they were dicks, you know, like
yeah, that's,
acknowledging
that's really
them. Interesting. Like there's some validation mm-hmm. there, right? Okay, I know you were a dick, but you know, here's some bread.
Yeah,
you know, and you'll see
don't come back and still be a dick.
Right, exactly. And you'll see like families feasting on the gravesites. And this still goes on. If you go to Mexican cemeteries, contemporary today, mm-hmm. during these festivities, they are literally having picnics on the gravesites of their family members. And sometimes you'll see people like pouring out libations and things onto the gravesite, mm-hmm. you know, as an acknowledgement of that. And I think there's something really powerful about that. And it also sort of demystifies death. And our culture, especially Euro-American culture, especially has like these weird hangups about death. You know,
yeah, you know, that like talking about it, you're inviting death and or misfortune to come. And mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's a real thing. It's going to happen to all of us, except for me, because I eat way too many preserved foods. And I think acknowledgement that that's coming down the pike is healthier than just like sticking your head in the sand and eating way too many preserved foods as a way of avoiding it.
So I, this time of year, and I also like the spookiness, the spooky Halloween. And I love that. Mm-hmm. I love that aspect of Halloween and kind of like the thrills and chills. I'm not one for like slasher flicks and crap like that, because that shit I find, I don't know. It's kind of close to things that can happen to people in real life, but ghost mm-hmm. stories I really like. And you and I have had this discussion about, like one of my favorite ghost stories of all time is The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, written by Ichabod Crane back in the day. And I actually wrote a reboot of it called The Secret of Sleepy Hollow and did kind of a little bit of contemporary twist on that tale. It's one of my all-time favorite ghost stories. And I love all the twists that have been done on that. It's got all the great elements. It's got like, you know, kind of a romantic element. And then it's got mm-hmm. like The spooky element, the legend of the Headless Horseman, and then it's got that freaking eerie, creepy last ride or last walk of Ichabod Crane, you know. So it's just like, oh my God, it has everything in it. It's like a perfect ghost story. So I love those spooky elements. So did you develop your cosplay penchant through Halloween?
Not really. I feel like the cosplay stuff is actually more an outgrowth of my video game playing. But I mean, that being said, so, you know, my dad would help us a lot to build our costumes, and it's one of the ways that we could kind of bond with him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we would have just these really cool costumes. Like, there was one year, so I have three younger brothers, and my brothers and I all went as crusaders.
Oh my God.
So we're wearing these like white tabards with like the red cross on it and a shield and a helmet, and we had little wooden swords, and yeah, so there was just like the four of us just trooping around our neighborhood, you know, demanding candy from all of our neighbors.
That's awesome.
A much kinder, gentler crusade. But I was all into like medieval stuff at that point in my life, and so I thought it was like the coolest thing in the world. I didn't know much of anything about the Crusades, except that, you know, a bunch of knights went to Jerusalem and then came back. So
they were just on a road trip, man.
Yeah. You know, I mean, older, somewhat more enlightened me is like, okay, that could be a little cringy. But as a kid, that was a fucking awesome costume, especially when there were four of us.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I bet that would have been fun. Yeah. You know what else you can do with four people? You can do Ghostbusters.
You can. You know, I didn't see Ghostbusters until I was an adult.
I know. Bless your heart, Lise. It's okay.
Oh no.
Bless your heart.
So, yeah. It's sad.
So give us another memory.
If I'd seen it, you can bet I would have been all about that.
Yeah, right?
Well, so I am not ashamed to admit this. I trick-or-treated all the way through 12th grade.
Nice.
Uh-huh. My best friend and at least one of our one other friend from our friend group sometimes too would all go out, and we would trick-or-treat. But, you know, we had awesome costumes every year. So, unfortunately, one of my friends was like almost 6 feet tall, so she would sometimes get kind of hassled by people. But she was still in costume. And our last year, we decided to go and trick-or-treat in, like, the she neighborhood.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, except we made one fatal error in that. So the main drag in this neighborhood was a road that went along the river. And we started on the riverside. And the houses were way further apart than they were on the other side.
Yeah, drag.
I know we could have gotten so many more like candy bars and shit if we'd thought about. But we went to the biggest houses, not to the most houses.
Well, did you get a good haul anyway?
Oh, we got a great haul.
Sweet.
Yeah. And I totally biffed it. We were cutting across someone's yard and I like tripped over, like went to jump over this low like stone fence and totally biffed it.
But it was
such a great night. I was dressed as an escapee from a mental hospital.
Oh my God. You notice how like costumes have changed over the years?
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, what's popular or not. I just heard a story on NPR about, you know, straight up, y'all, offensive costumes. What the fuck with the sombreros? Okay.
Yes.
Seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? And blackface? What? And these ridiculous, quote unquote, Pocahontas costumes. Come on. Come the fuck on. There is so much more you can dress up as, like, you know, characters from movies, video games, like books even. I mean, Jesus Christ, come on, people. And oh, and again, what is the fucking French maid costume?
Oh my God.
Every year.
No.
Every goddamn year. I'm like, I have no issue with people who want to do that behind closed doors and whatever. I don't kink shame. But as a Halloween costume, come on. Really?
Yeah, it's a little much. Hey, so when you were a kid, were the store-bought costumes those ones where you would have like that super cheap plastic mask, and then you had like a trash bag with the picture of your character on it.
So
yeah,
they're so
those
bad.
were so bad. That was like
So
the
bad.
only time I didn't wish I had the store-bought version of something.
Exactly, same. I mean, they were fairly easy, but and when you're a little kid, you know, your parents, I get it. I totally get it. As I got older, though, I got more interested in costumes, like going to, I would go to thrift stores and stuff and like try to put stuff together that way. One year when I was in grad school, I had a Halloween party at my house and I dressed as Carmen Miranda.
Nice.
You know, like, and okay, and I was just bitching about, you know, stereotypes, but it was kind of like the movie version, like the old, the 1930s and 40s movie version of Carmen Miranda. And I found this like crazy red off the shoulder cocktail dress. And I put that on and I literally made a fruit hat. I got
Yes,
all of these
you have
plastic
to.
fruits and I put them all together into like a hat. And I had makeup on and I had these 40s era tap shoes. So I was dancing around the whole night. Like I had music going that was from that era. So it was just like that was my costume. And I dressed my dog up. I put a little witch hat on her. She was not happy. She was like,
No.
no, stop it. Just stop it right now. Another year I was Marie Antoinette dead. So I had like this big red gash on my throat. I had this flowing white gown and I had like dead makeup to make myself look bad.
Very good, very good. I think my best cheap costume was it was a party that my ex-wife and I went to, and we had like nothing to dress up as, but we had some duct tape.
Right
And so I made myself, I mean, I had white duct tape, and so I made myself a full-size skeleton and some black clothes. And it was pretty cool, but for her, we decided that we were going to dress her up as a crime scene.
How did that what so how to
Oh, it
explain?
was so cool.
Explain.
So we used the white tape to do like a chalk outline of a body on her.
No, it's
And
awesome.
then we had yellow duct tape that we like wrapped around her in a
What?
couple places and wrote like police line do not cross. And yeah,
Oh
I
my
mean it was
God.
amazing and everyone loved it and I spent so much more time on my skeleton which looked really cool but everyone was like really just
That's so
really
creative,
keen
though.
on the crime scene so
That is so creative. One year, a woman I was dating and I went to a Halloween party and we dressed as Wynonna and Naomi Judd and we air banded a Judd song. Love
okay
can
cool.
build a bridge. That was the song. Oh my God. So bad. I was Wynonna. She was Naomi. It was hilarious.
Nice.
I'm just trying to remember like other stupid costumes that I've done over the years. There are years. One year I dressed up as a waiter, like a dude, an Italian dude waiter, and I put a little pencil thin mustache on, and I slicked my hair back, and I got these fake bullet holes, and I like put them on my one on my forehead because I got whacked. So
Nice.
I had like my metal tray and my long white apron, like I was in a nice restaurant, and I had like a white tux shirt on with some blood stains on it. And I was like going around taking everybody's orders.
Did you get a lot of orders?
Yeah.
I think so. Out of cosplay, my absolute favorite costume that I ever went as, I was 9 or 10, and I went as a headless horseman.
Oh, shut the front door. Are there photos?
My mom might have some somewhere.
Oh, I would
But
love
it
to see
was
those.
so cool because I was small enough that we took like my dad's like suit jacket and like basically, like the neck of it was at the top of my head and I could like just see through like the white shirt that was on over that. And then we had a hockey helmet because I grew up in Canada. Of course we had a hockey helmet. And my mom got this rubber fright mask and like stretched it over the front and secured it to the hockey helmet, and I could like carry it under one arm,
Yes.
and
Oh my
I,
God.
which left one hand free for candy. And yeah, that was the best. I think I got like the best, absolute best results from that one.
That, like I told you, that's one of my favorite ghost stories. And that cost when there's always a headless horseman, always in every milieu you go to, no matter what Halloween it is. And what is interesting to me is that I published my reboot of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow with Ilva Press, which was, they're European. And so, duh, it didn't even occur to me. This is not an American construct. So I included at the end of that story, like a little history of what the legend is, because it is the first American ghost story. It's recognized as the first American ghost story, but it's not, there's not the same cultural context in Europe. And I was like, oh, duh, look at me being an America centrist. Sorry about that, folks. So I included like an epilogue that explained the history of that story and when Washington Irving had written it. But what's fun is that story, what was like 200 years ago? It was written 230 years ago or something. And the town, there's a town in upstate New York that literally renamed itself Sleepy Hollow, basically, after this ghost story, because that's kind of where the ghost story was originally set. It was in that area. And I love shit like that. I love like reading older stuff that was spooky and then tracing the history of it and finding the place where it happened. So I just think that's so awesome when people write stuff like that. And then 200 years later, here we are still talking about that story. And people are still dressing as the character, one of the characters in that story. I mean, Jesus Christ, that's amazing to me.
Yeah, it's iconic.
Yeah. Another fun memory I have was a couple of years ago, I was in Albuquerque, which is actually the land of my birth. And there's a section right off downtown in Albuquerque. There's like these two residential streets, and all the neighbors get together and they all do these fabulously amazing decorations for Halloween. And then they shut the streets down for Halloween night for trick or treating. And so the streets are like, there's no cars. It's like
Oh, that
hundreds
is
of
so cool.
people going house to house, and all the neighbors are out in the street with like their candy, and you've got like the spookiest fucking shit going on in these houses, like silhouettes in the windows. They all create like haunted houses. And this is like a 2 block, 3 block stretch, and you just like wander around with your kids, and it's everybody's out serving you like hot chocolate and candy and shit. It's amazing. It's so much fun.
That is so cool. I really like haunted houses, and for me, it's less about being scared and more, I find, the way the effects are done to be really interesting, and I like to see what people do with them. And I keep on hoping that my kids will be interested in going to one with me, because I don't want to go by myself, mostly because I don't like doing things by myself. Not because I'm scared to, I just don't like to. It's the social anxiety. It's a different kind of fear,
Yeah, I get
okay?
it. I get it. But it, also a haunted house is something you want to do with others. That's just like it, I don't know, going to by yourself to a haunted house, nah, I don't know. It's just not the same allure.
Yeah, no. And it's entertaining to watch everybody else freaking out while I'm like, "Ooh, I wonder how they did that effect."
Right? That's so much fun. Oh my God. One of the other things that I like to do is like have movie nights with friends. And we're just like pick out like three or four of our fave Halloween movies, and we'll just like turn off all the lights so nobody comes trick-or-treating to our house, and then we'll watch movies.
I do like to watch Nightmare Before Christmas, either for Halloween and or
Or
for
for
Christmas.
Christmas, yeah, totally.
So usually try to sneak that in. And I introduced my family to Hocus Pocus a few years ago.
Oh, and how do they
And
like
that
it?
was, they liked it. That was the kids, I think, were still young enough to appreciate it without having to do that whole like, I'm a cool teenager now, I don't like anything.
Yeah,
That they
totally.
do.
Totally. I'm too cool for this, man.
Liking things sucks.
Everything sucks, man. Totally get it. But like I said, I don't really like slasher flicks, and I know those are huge this time of year. But I like the more psychological creepy thrillers like Sixth Sense and also I've been noticing that Beetlejuice, the original, is being shown on a couple of channels this year, and that was a pretty fucking creepy movie too.
That was, I saw that in the theaters, and I think I had to go to the bathroom like 5 times.
A creepy campy movie. It's like,
yeah.
It's
the effects were a lot for me to deal with as like a little kid.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad and my brothers used to rate movies by how often I had to go to the bathroom. And that that one was a 5 pisser.
Oh my god. Psycho too. The original Psycho is another one mm-hmm. that scares the living pee-pee out of me.
Oh yeah. I took that one in a film class in art school, which was fascinating.
Also, I need to remind people that if you have not seen 2017's Get Out yet, directed and written by Jordan Peele, that is an amazing, creepy fucking movie. And it also has an underlying message that is really, really important with regard to how Americans construct race and basic racism in this country. But it's amazing. It's an amazing film. Get Out. So I highly recommend that, Lise. Super creepy.
Watch that one with my daughter because she's all into creepy movies.
It is super creepy.
Social justice right now. So.
Oh, yeah. She would. Yeah, I highly recommend that. And, of course, Ghostbusters. I don't care whichever iteration you prefer. You got to watch Ghostbusters. Come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just a thing. Just do it.
You know, I did see the second one in the theaters.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I was just thinking about that. It's like, oh, that's weird. I saw the second one in the theaters, but didn't see the first one in its entirety until I was an adult.
Another one I just want to throw out there for people is 1996 is The Craft.
Oh, yes.
That's kind of the ultimate bad girl kind of movie. Mm-hmm. Just like, but it's a lot of fun. And I haven't seen it in a while. I'm gonna watch it again because I really enjoyed that movie. But I also like kind of fun, goofy Halloween movies.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I like the spooky, spine-chilling, creepy movies. But again, no slasher flicks. I'm not into that. But I also like, you know, kind of fun, campy movies. So,
yeah.
And this year, I don't
can't
know
do ghost movies. Movies that have ghosts in them, I think are hilarious until the lights go out, and then I don't sleep for 3 days.
Oh, shit. Don't watch The Sixth Sense with the lights out.
Slasher movies don't bother me.
It's hilarious.
But ghost movies, yeah, if there are ghosts in it, and like, nope.
So, you don't have any huge plans this year for Halloween?
I don't. The kids are each having, we're having one Halloween party here on Friday, and the boy is going to a friend's house for a Halloween party that same day.
Okay.
And mostly, I'm just going to try and stay out of the way of a house full of teenage girls.
Okay, I do want to, like, recommend one of my, this is, like, the cutest freaking movie. It's 2017's Coco. It's an animated film.
Yes.
That's Day of the Dead themed. It's fucking brilliant. It's family friendly. It's funny. It's visually stunning. The music is amazing. If you have young kids, even if you have teenagers, watch that movie. I loved that movie.
It was lovely.
It was so beautiful. I love that movie. So I'm probably going to watch it again this year with I don't think my parents have seen it. So I'm going to get them to watch it. I'm going to be like, y'all need to watch this movie. And then you need to give me a report on it. So I know that you watched
it. Yeah. Get it before it goes off Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. It's such a good movie. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. So y'all, that's our Halloween happy fun times. And everybody, we hope you stay safe out there if you're going to be indulging in the Halloweenies and the Dia de los Muertos kinds of celebrations. Lise, do you have a shout out this week? Anything that you've been watching, reading that is awesome?
Not really. I was going to shout out, you know, in honor of Halloween, H.P. Lovecraft, but that one's always dicey.
That's dicey. That's really dicey.
I mean, you know, it's, do I want to start this conversation now? Sure, why the heck not? Lovecraft is, his imagery is, yes, fantastic and screwy and frightening as hell, and he like inspired a whole sort of movement in horror, but as a person, he was a reprehensible human
Just
being.
the absolute worst.
Yeah, he was. I mean, he was so racist that racists of his day were like, dude,
Dude, you're
slow down.
racist.
So yeah, on the one hand, that like that's not a great thing to know about him as I'm older. On the other hand, I believe his works are in the public domain, so I'm not supporting him
Oh, right on.
by consuming it. But yeah, it's come for the
Okay.
monsters, don't pay attention to his
To the
depiction of
douchery.
anybody but human.
He, yeah, Lovecraft is really fucking scary.
For many reasons.
So, Lise, I took your recommendation and I just finished reading Jodi Taylor's One Damn Thing After Another. The
And
time traveling historians, y'all. I
yaha.
loved it.
Awesome.
Fucking loved it. It's irreverent. It's hilarious. It's poignant. The description, she has a way with descriptions. Like how she writes a scene and the setting, freaking brilliant. So my friends, this is like it's the first book in a series. What is it? The adventures or the trials or something, St. Mary's. It's the St. Mary's series. This is the first book, one damn thing after another, and you deal with Max, who ends up going to St. Mary's and becoming one of these historians. So if you're a fan of Legends of Tomorrow, for example, and Warehouse 13, this is right up your alley.
Oh yeah.
Guarantee. And it's spelled Jodi, Jodi Taylor. So just definitely check out her St. Mary's work. I freaking loved it. I loved it so hard that I just have the second book now on, I'm waiting for it to come in at the library.
Nice.
Can I also Please, we do this quite a bit, but I want to just give a shout out to libraries.
Yes.
I
I
recently
approve.
moved, friends, and so now I'm in an area where I have access to a library. It's right fucking there, and I am using it all the time to like get books that I really like to read, getting stuff off interlibrary loan because I don't like accumulating a lot of things and. What I noticed about checking books out of the library is it kind of forces me to read that book because there's a due date, right? And so I read the book and I get all into it and excited and I take it back. And ours is a small community library, but it gets a fuck ton of use. And there's so many people there. And I'm just like so appreciative of libraries that I just want to shout out to libraries. Thank you for all you do. And happy Halloween.
Libraries are amazing. I agree.
They are. I'm just like so excited. I'm just like so anyway, I've got next in my queue, Lise, that I just checked out of the library is the book called Leia, Princess Leia of Alderaan in the Star Wars universe, and it came out last year and it tells Leia's story as a young woman. She's like 16 or 17. It gives her it's her backstory, basically, and how
Oh,
she
cool.
became the Princess Leia that we all know and love in the Star Wars series. So I'll let you know how that one is. But it's been getting rave reviews and I've had my eye on it. And oh my God, it was actually on the shelf. I got so excited. I checked it out immediately. So
Cool.
that's, you got any final words?
I like the build up to Halloween more than I like the holiday itself. Sorry. I just really like all the stuff that goes around it and like the excitement. And then since I can't go trick or treating anymore, actual Halloween is sort of a disappointment. That's all right because there's enough sort of like pageantry and stuff around the holiday on the build up to it that that's really cool too.
It is cool. And that's why I like Dia de los Muertos too, because that you have 2 days after Halloween to get into it even more. So anyway, friends,
Cool.
thank you so much for joining us. And again, be safe out there. Have yourself a fun holiday, Halloween, Hallows Eve, so an evening and For some folks, it's really shitty weather. So if it is, hey, pop some popcorn and watch some cool movies on TV or read some spooky books and have yourselves like an at-home Halloween. In the meantime, we will talk at you later, and we hope you have a great couple of weeks. And if you have any ideas or you want to have like talk about any kinds of things on the show, just let us know. You can reach us at our website, lesgeekoutcast.com, or on Twitter, LGO Podcast. And we would love to hear from you. So thanks a lot, everybody. Take care and happy Halloween. Spooky <We're>, Halloween.
We're a couple of Halloweenies.
We're the biggest Halloweenies ever. Oh my God. I do. You're right. Build-up's fun, and then the holiday itself is like, oh, dang it, it's over.
Yeah. I know. I would just like to keep that aesthetic all year round, but people frown on that.
I don't know what the hell's the matter with them. Get over it. God.
Exactly.
I mean, this is why I have a deep and abiding love for skull iconography. So I have, like, you know, I've got a couple of tattoos that are skulls. I've got, you know, just skulls everywhere. I wear a ring that has a skeleton on it. It's just like, I personally carry skulls everywhere I go. So I am living.
They're so happy.
I'm living
smiling.
La vida loca.